Hello, 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 and welcome to RuPaul's Drag Race Recap here on Reality TV Wrap Ups. I'm your host, Liana Boris. We are here to talk about episode 12 of RuPaul's Drag Race season 12. Yes, the penultimate episode. We will get a reunion in there, though, but we go down to our essentially final three queens, although we will talk about if they will remain the final three queens. We shall see. But let me introduce our wonderful panel. With us here, as always, is our very own showgirl, Brent Wolgamott. Brent, how are you doing?
Hey, Liana Boris. Happy to be here to talk about the penultimate episode of RuPaul's Drag Race. I put like an extra syllable in there, didn't I?
The penultimate episode. That's more of a Drag Race thing anyway, so I think we could keep it.
Okay.
And of course, our very own winner here, Amon Adwin. Amon, how are you?
I am great. Finally, I feel like we're in the part of the season where things are really going to get interesting because we've sort of like had this nasty thing hanging over it for the entire time. But I feel like for the first time, we're getting to move past this part of the of this season. So I'm excited.
Yeah, it definitely feels like we shed some extra weight going into this finale. So we have Jackie Cox go home and we are left with our top three girls heading into this finale. So we will speculate about what we think is going to happen. We'll go over what has been announced so far for the reunion and for the finale. But first, let's dig into everything from this particular episode of Drag Race. So we get after the elimination. The big shock here was the power going out, right? Which was kind of crazy, Brent. I definitely thought it was something on purpose.
I thought it was something on purpose, too. But I love that they left it in because it kept us guessing. And I kept waiting for the other shoe to drop, much like I did through much of this episode. And it was really interesting to watch and how they were like, they were definitely vamping behind the scenes going, OK, so we're going to go over to the untucked part of things and we're going to talk there. So because we still have lights there.
Yeah, we still have a show to film, and that's where we can send the girls.
It was very weird watching them do post-game reactions in that part of the studio.
Yeah, my mind like couldn't comprehend what was going on. Wrong place. I don't understand.
Yeah, I totally thought there was something else coming when the lights went out. I was definitely like, primed and ready for something to happen because I don't know if a few of our listeners also follow Jake Yonce on YouTube, but he was like alluding to something happening this episode. And so I was like, oh my God, the power's going out. Is somebody coming back? Like, the light's going to come back on and there's queens everywhere. Like, what's going to happen? But then nothing. So
nothing. Yeah.
Nope. We did get a really nice eulogy for Heidi. The show loves Heidi. Like, it was really, really nice. It was really sweet. You talk about Jada, you know, losing her little sister. And I think it just goes to show how much the show really fell in love with Heidi. And so if we're going to talk about losing is the new winning, I think Heidi is one of the queens that really won Drag Race as far as all of that's concerned.
Certainly won it more than Sherry Pie.
Yeah,
that's for sure. That's for sure. All right, we dig into the next day and we get the mini challenge here. Oh, and we get a video for the first time. Is this the first time we've seen a video in a while?
In a while. I was like, what is this and why is it coming now? And why have they been edited out? It was just a time thing. Like, they have an hour and a half. They can't find like 30 seconds to show a video. I still don't understand.
Yeah, I have no idea. I thought it was like maybe it's something I was trying to put it together in my head, like maybe it was something with the coronavirus, you know, because they couldn't record them. And I was like, that makes no sense because they literally had to have had them for the episode. So what am I even thinking? But right. Anyway, whatever. So we get the video and that brings us to our mini challenge, Amon, where they have to do showgirl headdress and showgirl drag and do some type of performance with this.
Yeah, this was fun. I'm shocked that so many. This is part of the time when I'm watching the series and I get reminded of how talented these queens are with, you know, their hands and putting stuff together. Because sure, they might have, you know, already had like their costumes or their outfits already set, but to have to create that headdress in that short amount of time and for them to look so good, I'm like, wow, like this is. This is like true drag. Like, this is like, I could like, for you to think if you're sitting on this couch and you're sitting like, I could definitely do that. That's when I'm like, no, I definitely could not do a competition like this because I'm just not artistically.
Yeah. Like I always think like, Are they really only given 20 minutes here or whatever Rue says? Like, is it something where the queens have like, we need to have a drag queen on the podcast because I'm going to ask them. Okay, so if you're on the show, do you know when Rue says quick drag or old lady drag or whatever she says, do you know? Okay, these are the three things that I have to put on my face. I'm assuming with quick drag, you know, like it's going to be lipstick and eyeliner and lashes or something, you know, and like anything else you can throw on your face once time is up, then God bless you. But I'm always astounded at the level of professionalism on many of the queen's faces in such a short period of time.
I genuinely don't even understand how this happened because they looked so good. And I remember quick drag from the early days. No one looked this good. Like, what is happening here? I don't know. Level of talent has just improved. We're giving them a little bit more time. I have no idea. Or they're just prepared for it. They're like,
they're prepared.
One of the skills I have to know how to do is quick drag, because I swear to God, like Jada looks like Jada. I honestly, maybe it's my naive eye, can't tell a difference. And for them to have made the showgirl headdresses, I mean, again, how much they had to make, I don't exactly know, but
right. You
know, this was just a fun opportunity for the queens to do quick drag and then just, you know, do some weird stuff
and have a good time with Rue and Rue to laugh her ass off. Yeah, exactly.
Right.
Does it like bother you? Like, cause I haven't really been a watcher from the get go. So I've only really seen from season 8 up until now live. All the other ones I had to go back and watch. So does it bother you that everything seems a bit more polished? Like, do you feel like the show is losing a bit of its authenticity because of the fact that so many of the queens just come with these preordained looks and designers help them out? And
I definitely feel like there's a little bit of an aspect there. Insofar as like quick drag or anything like this, no, I just think the queens are getting more talented. I think they know exactly what's coming on RuPaul's Drag Race. It's sort of like going onto Survivor and knowing how to do a slide puzzle or knowing how to make fire. Yeah. Like, there's just some things that you go onto the show. Yeah. And if you're a smart player and you consider yourself to be a gamer and talented, and like, you know, we know how talented so many of these queens are. You know that so many of them think, okay, I know I'm going to be in the final four, so I'm going to make sure that I know the things I need to do to prepare myself so that I don't get tripped up by any of these things along the way. And so I'm sure many of them like literally took classes from people about how to do quick drag, how to have something done really quickly together, what you're going to do in this instance. If Rue says this, this is what you're going to do. Like, that's how I would game RuPaul's Drag Race. And I have to think that a lot of these people, like Jackie, I feel like is a kindred spirit in me. Jada, same way. Like, I feel like they would look at the show in the same respect about how to navigate around all of these challenges and impress Rue. So I would think that's definitely something that's happening behind the scenes. So I think they're just getting smarter.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I think the biggest thing that I always am a little worried about is examples of wealth inequality, where you have queens that can maybe are a little bit more affluent and can afford greater looks going into the season. But I think that a little bit sorts itself out. Like, I think Heidi is the type of queen that you fall in love with for her personality. And, you know, Drag Race is really just the beginning. And I think that the queens that really can succeed afterwards, like, it's a little bit of an equalizer, I guess, kind of in a way. And
That would be an interesting discussion, actually. I'm sure that there are queens who haven't had as much money on RuPaul. I'm not coming for you, Liana. You know I'm not. I'm just like, I'm thinking I would have said something like that and then stepped in it. Like, I'm sure there are queens on RuPaul's Drag Race who didn't have money, who didn't go far and haven't made as much money post Drag Race because they didn't get the exposure on the show that they needed. And then things fell flat after. Like, I'm very curious if there is any discussion of that or anything written about that, about, you know, queens from season 3, season 4, season 5, you know, like, what happened to many of them? What are their booking fees like in comparison to somebody like, you know, I don't know, Naomi or Trixie anybody Miguel. Who's, yeah, exactly. Somebody who hasn't won, but is prominent in seasons, or, you know, even somebody in the recent seasons. I would very much like to hear about that. So maybe we can find out one day.
I think there's probably a lot of factors too. I think, you know, socioeconomic status is absolutely one of them. But I think, kind of, Brent, what you alluded to is the season that you're on. You know, if you're a queen on one of the earlier seasons, I think it's so much harder to get noticed. And there's a few queens that pop back up that, you know, weren't like winners or top two, but it's probably far less than what we see now. So just because they're not getting the mainstream, you know, exposure right now.
I do feel like that in some ways that's what Rue uses All-Stars for. Like the fact that Mariah and India Farah are coming, and even Angina are coming back, which is, you know, we all know now, are coming back to RuPaul's Drag Race. Like, I don't know that anyone was necessarily clamoring for India Farah to come back on our screens, or Mariah for that matter. Not that she's not amazing. She is. I'm just saying, I don't think anyone was necessarily clamoring for it, but the fact that they're coming back, like, I think that's such a boon for older queens.
And I think that also is reason to why they should do that holiday special every year.
Right?
I think
that up. Yes. I still think that Mayhem Miller is on the show because of the Hollis Slay special. We know it. Okay.
I believe. Yes. Well, back to the mini challenge. The winner here is Gigi, which, to be honest, I was like, that's fine.
Whatever, who cares.
Although I thought it was hilarious that she won a trip to Vegas, just like given the travel climate at the moment, but she'll get her trip. But this brings us to the main challenge of the week, which is Viva Drag Vegas, where the queens have to perform a medley of songs from RuPaul's Drag Race Live, which is one of the show or the new show on the Las Vegas Strip. Which, so it at the time of the season, I don't think that the show was on, like was performing, but I think then by the time it's airing, like it's been on. So yeah, it was
on until the coronavirus hit. Right. And then like, I'm sure that it's going to come back one day, hopefully. But I love the fact, because before RuPaul's Drag Race Live, there was a show called Anyone Been to Vegas? I can't remember. His name is Frank something. Oh my God. I've been to it a couple times. It's a drag show in Las Vegas. I'm looking it up as I speak. Oh, God. It's Frank Marino. That's what it's. Frank Marino. Ms. Las Vegas. Yeah. Because he always did like Joan Rivers. It was called Divas Las Vegas. That was the name of it. It was on the Las Vegas Strip. So I know that RuPaul's Drag Race Live basically took the place of Divas Las Vegas, or is definitely outshining them at the moment to the point where they're no longer viable. So yeah, I'm really excited. And I thought that I always thought that Las Vegas is a natural place for RuPaul's Drag Race and the queens.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it absolutely makes sense. I've seen some videos that people have taken. It just looks like so much fun. If when this whole thing blows over, I really want to go. I think it would be so enjoyable.
Yeah, I would go with you. Yeah.
On top. Oh, my God. Podcast trip.
Yeah.
So on top of that, they also have to write a rap verse. And then, of course, there's choreography that goes along with the show, which the wonderful Jamal Charles is back to help the teams put all of that together. Yeah. Amon, were you happy to see Jamal back?
I'm always happy to see Jamal. Like, he's just always such a good teacher, so kind to everybody. He really encourages them, and just, you know, I feel like he just pulls the best out of everybody. And that's, you know, we already have like a fantastic top five. So when they are able to all bring it the way that they did, it's, you know, a lot of that has to do with him. So I'm always glad that he's there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, Brent, what did you think overall about this as a concept for a challenge?
I thought overall this was a really fun concept. I will say that overall, I didn't love the result, because I felt like that there was so much editing and so many behind the scenes things that we didn't see, so many setups, so many things that I feel like impacted the performance that we also didn't get to see, that it was really hard to judge in the end. Like, they were saying things like, you know, you did this or you did this, or we felt this way. And I'm like, I felt like most of them were pretty fantastic. I really did. And even the ones that I felt like weren't amazing, they didn't really call out. And I feel like I was trying to be as objective as possible. I really was. And they didn't seem to see what I saw. So I'm like, well, I was very frustrated with the editing. All right, I'm on. You said, yeah. Sorry. Do you see what I'm talking about?
Yeah. I mean, I feel like the end game for Drag Race nowadays is very just about, I mean, and I mentioned it a lot of the time in this episode, is just get there. Because once you get there, it's sort of like, you know, you just got to get one more show and then you're in the finale. And I feel like that comes across in a lot of the editing, because partially because they want to make it, you know, as a little bit unpredictable as possible. They don't want it to be as obvious about who's not going to make it to the finale, especially since RuPaul has been hyping this final 6-5 up to be like the best ever. So, yeah, we got to see the performance by all the queens. And yeah, that shit was edited to a T. Like, they shot and reshot and put things together and made everything seem seamless and perfect. And probably they probably got multiple takes. Every queen, even if they were messing up in the beginning, you didn't see it because they chose the best take from each queen, which, you know, I'm fine with. But yeah, it does sort of make it hard for an audience member to be like, okay, well, who objectively was the worst? And I think it made it hard for the judges too, because they had to go back to report card, which they usually don't like to talk about.
I hated that.
The judges don't really talk about report card. It's usually the contestants that talk about report card, and the judges sort of like leave that out. But they sort of like edited themselves into a corner here, I feel like, you know? So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would completely agree with that. I mean, especially the fact that I think during the judging, RuPaul explicitly says this is based on your performances tonight and throughout the season. And I think that really hammered home to me. It's like, oh, OK, so Crystal and Jackie are going to be in the bottom because.
Yeah, because they had told us that earlier in the episode when. Right. Who was it? Was it Gigi who said, like, I think on like overall performances, it's like it's me and Jada and then Sherry and then you two. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I really wanted to smack her because honestly, for the last three episodes, she hasn't been fantastic. And I feel like she's a little big for her britches.
Interesting. Okay. Well, yeah, well, we can definitely get into all of that. Let's go through some of the setup that we get before the main challenge. And the first thing that we have is the rap recording where they're working with the same. I didn't write down their names, but it's the same people as I'm That Bitch. Right. Or it looked like it because they had talked about working with some of the girls before. So that was kind of cool, although it felt a little bit unfair because I think it was Jada in the second group. When the girls all came together. So it was like, oh, some of them got to work with the queens and some hadn't, but
Okay.
Whatever. Yeah. Anyway.
Oh, okay. I see what you mean. Okay. Yes. I forgot about the opening of this season. Yeah, exactly. They divided them up and only part of them got to work with these guys. Okay, cool. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I don't have any sort of major takeaways from the rap recording. Of course, we get a lot of the editing tricks of, oh, Jada is failing and, you know, is she going to struggle? We get Gigi commenting that Crystal Method's voice sounds like Kermit the Frog if Kermit smoked pot, Amon. So I don't know if you had any takeaways from this.
Yeah, I thought there was interesting critiques. I think it was for Crystal where they were critiquing her singing voice. And I was like, why is she the one that has to sing? Like, I thought that we were rapping here, and then you later find out why. But I thought it was like the whole I was just sort of like confused as to like what the challenge was supposed to be here. So yeah, I kind of share your sentiments, Leona.
Yeah, that's a good point because I was super confused because and also even with the performance, when we finally get the performance, I was like, are they singing? Oh my God, the queens are actually singing. And then I was confused if they wrote that part. And then I was like, is this the rap? And yeah. Finally, after watching it a few times, I was able to figure it out. But this really kind of made it confusing. So the next part that we have is the dance rehearsal where we get a lot of white girl dancing, Jackie in some booty shorts. Brent, I don't know if there's anything you want to say about the dance rehearsal.
No, I mean, I think look, honestly, in my real opinion, everybody performed as best as they possibly could in almost all of this entire performance. It really was well done. And I agree with Amon's take that I'm sure that there were multiple takes that they were given. And that really made it hard for us to judge. Everybody looked pretty seamless. It was just a big warm group hug at the end where it's like, you did great. You did great. You did great. You did great. And so it was really hard to differentiate. Basically, it's just personal preference at this point. And I hate that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there wasn't much in terms of the setup. It did feel this whole episode plus Untucked was just incredibly talented girls all just hanging out, a little bit of shade thrown at each other.
Yeah.
But really, I think they recognize the talent that everybody has. And
yeah,
so
and they
tried
to make Jada look like she doesn't know what she's doing. And I'm like, this is such a red herring. Like, we know that this is not going to hold.
Yeah, this is a performance. Jada will be fine. Like, I don't know what's going on here. Well, the last thing we get before the runway and the performance is the workroom first impressions of each girl where they're talking about what they thought, which the fact that when Jackie thought Gigi was a costume queen and Gigi was so gagged. Oh, my God, that. I loved that. I thought that was hilarious.
Yeah, I didn't care for that costume either. And it was a costume. Like, what is she talking about? She's like, what is she like? This is fashion. I'm like, oh, my God. Like, you look like a goddamn pirate. Sit down.
And then I loved that
10
look.
Minutes later.
I loved that look. But yeah, I agree. I don't know why she was acting like it wasn't, like it was so far out of it. Like, the first impressions, girl, like, you walked in looking like Johnny Depp. Of course, she's going to think that you're a damn costume queen. So, yeah. But I look for when Crystal is the one that's, throwing a little shade here and there, because I feel like she's the butt of the joke all the time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like sweet little Crystal.
Yeah, and I love that she was the one who asked the question, who do you think is the most improved? You, Crystal. Oh, really? Okay.
Me, I had no idea. All right. Well, let's just get to the performance. I really want to talk about it. Let's discuss the performance, and then I think we can get to the runway look. So we'll keep them separate for going through all of this. Jamal Sims is, of course, our guest judge, as he did all of the choreography to set this whole thing up. And overall, the performance seemed to be broken up into three different numbers. When they first arrived to Drag Race, which is their intro looks, the Just the Mirror number, which is sort of how they became drag queens, how they got introduced to drag. And then, of course, Losing is the New Winning, which I also titled You're Still That Bitch, because I love the concept of they started with I'm That Bitch. And then at the end, we get I'm Still That Bitch. Mm-hmm. So, Amana, walk me through your thoughts.
I really enjoy this performance. I love the fact that they all got to reprise their workroom walk-in looks. I don't think that they've ever done something like that before.
I've never seen a repeat in the history of RuPaul's Drag Race. I've never seen something repeated before like that.
Yeah, at first I was like, wait a second, I didn't even notice at first, and then I saw Sherry Pie's like pie dress, and I was like, wait a second, oh wait, they're all, and then I saw Gigi. So yeah, it was nice. It was so campy, the whole musical theater vibe. I loved the number with them all, you know, in pajamas and in a boudoir, you know, talking like it's the classic. It's what you call the I Want song in theater. It's always the third song in the show that's talking about the main character or the ingenue's desires. And it was written very well and just so I just love this. I mean, I love the musicals usually, but something about this one in particular, I sort of like, because sometimes when watching the musicals, I can sort of like doze off a little bit. But I feel like I was engaged with this one entirely. So I liked it. I really, really enjoyed this performance a lot.
Mm-hmm. And Brent, how about you?
Yeah, I was thinking about that, Amon. The fact that it's the I Want number. And I was thinking about myself at the mirror, like after being like trapped with the coronavirus in my own home. And I was like, I want boys. I want company. I want people. I want activities. Oh, God. Yeah, it was really a lot of fun. I think overall, my favorite part was the mirror number, only because I thought that was Jackie's best part. And I really found, like, I'm sure that a lot of the audience is like me, not everybody, but I'm sure that a lot of people are identifying with Jackie because she is the perceived underdog. And they really made sure to hammer that home. She was the only one who hasn't had a maxi challenge win up until this episode. They even showed Evie Oddly from last season and said, well, Evie Oddly only won one episode last season. If I could win this challenge, then I would be on par with Evie Oddly and I'd go right into the finale and just have a chance. And of course, I'm thinking, like, are they setting us up because that's about to happen? Or are they setting that up as a possibility because that's what could have happened, but it's not gonna. And then I got my answer.
Mm-hmm. Anything, not to like derail the conversation again, but is there anything that they can really do about, because it's clear that Drag Race is becoming more and more, they are acknowledging the fact that it is becoming easy to decipher some of these edits, which is why they are trying their best to throw in stuff like that to throw us off. Right. Is there really anything that they can do to not make it as predictable? Should they, instead of like having tops and bottoms, should they have like pass and fail? Like there's only one winner and everybody else is in the bottom? Like,
honestly, Amon, the whole thing comes down to RuPaul Charles. That is the problem. And not a problem necessarily, but if we're talking about this as an issue, RuPaul Charles is the problem because RuPaul is the sole arbiter of who moves forward. Okay. And so there are multiple times throughout the season where I think that Jackie should have won. There were other times where I thought she was in the top when they put her in the bottom. Now, not that she hasn't been not that she's been amazing every time, because she hasn't been. There have been times where I thought she should have been in the bottom two, but there were other times where I was gagged that she didn't get the win. And then so the way to combat that is to just give her the goddamn win. And the reason she didn't get the win was because of RuPaul. And that's the reason why she's not going to move forward. So it's like, you know, the problem that she's currently having is a result of the problem that she's been in for a while, in that RuPaul doesn't love her as much as she loves the other four. That's the problem. So unless this challenge was done in another way, unless there was another avenue for her to just absolutely succeed. See, I think that RuPaul loves challenges like this, because then RuPaul can just do whatever she wants, because they all look amazing. So then Ru doesn't have to be the bad guy. And then she can just use report card of the season, unquote, as something to shovel off one of the queens and say, "You're amazing, we love you, but there's only room for four, bye." I think Ru doesn't like challenges like in past seasons, where you have a what the fuck kind of contestant elevate themselves into the top, where then all of a sudden now you're in a position where you have to kick off one of your favorites. I think Ru likes to have control over things like this. So, you know, if you want more unpredictability, then I feel like it's like the challenge would have needed to be a one take challenge. And then what would have been the result of that?
Well, we know this challenge had several takes, including the weird mirror scene. But so just as I was looking back at Jackie Cox's report card, she was in the top six times.
Yeah.
Six times. Like, that's crazy. Now, obviously, she was also in the bottom two twice before she was eliminated. So in the bottom two, a total of three times. But yeah, I mean, there definitely also seems to be an element of the storylines the show wants to create. And part of that is absolutely with the editing. But I kind of feel like sometimes part of it even comes into play when they're filming this season. And so I think
that, in what respect? Sorry.
Well, so if the editors and the producers, because yes, it is RuPaul, but I think some of the other producers have a say in what happens or can make suggestions. Right. And if the producers are sort of seeing a storyline that they see progressing, like, for example, a Sherry Pie versus Gigi Good potentially as a narrative that they see, you know, then you maybe give the win to Gigi or Sherry over Jackie because you're trying to sort of push that narrative. Yeah. That's my conspiracy theory. I'm not saying it's true. But I'm saying,
True. Yeah, maybe. Of course it is. Yeah, I'm sure that. Yeah, of course, Liana's right. I mean, like, when I say Ru, I just meant Ru and her people. You know, it's not like Michelle Visage, the guest judge, Carson, you know, the girl, stop. Like, none of these people really have a say. It's the people who are making the decisions at the top who are making the decisions overall.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. And so that's what I think for this challenge. To agree with you, Brent, you know, everybody looked really great. Now, obviously, I had a queen, like, I think I really like Jackie's a lot. And if I was simply judging based on this challenge, me, Liana, I probably wouldn't have put Jackie in the bottom. So, you know, yeah, but this does give an opportunity for Ru or whomever to just sort of make the decision however they're feeling, because it's really hard. There's no clear winner here. It really does come down to a judgment call.
No, but there's a clear loser in Cherry Pie, so we're happy about that.
Right, exactly. Which we're finally rid of. Thank you, girl. So I think not problem, but one of the things that I went into this challenge thinking, I didn't think of it like a Rusical, I think was part of my problem. Because once I went back and I rewatched it again a couple times, I was like, okay, I get what they're doing. I think I can enjoy this more. But I went in with more of the category is, or, you know, thinking about the songs from that perspective, especially because I knew they were doing a rap. So for me, this was kind of confusing. So I was like, oh my gosh, what is going on? There's too much happening. I can't follow what's going on. They're singing, but then they're supposed to write stuff. Which did they write? What are they just singing? So anyway, it was a little overwhelming for me the first time through, but after that, I got a better sense of what was happening and I was able to enjoy it a little bit more.
Yeah, I concur with that, Liana. I was going to say something to you and say, like, upon multiple, because I saw this episode three times, not the entire episode, but this particular number. And I concur that, like, after you are able to absorb what is about to occur, you're able to then take it in and get what the overall point is and just really feel what the show is trying to make you feel, but I was so pent up looking for little clues along the way about, okay, like who's getting the Ushka Ushka look from Rue or Michelle, like where they're not doing good.
Ushka,
like,
Ushka.
Yeah, you know, where it's the little editing trick where they're letting us know, oh, somebody's not doing as well as everybody else is. And so I want to be on the lookout for that, so I know who's going to be in the bottom two, because I had no idea who's going to be in the bottom two, because I thought Jackie Cox was amazing. And so I'm thinking, OK, there's no way she's going to be in the bottom two. So who is going to be in the bottom two? Is it Cherry Pie and Crystal? Like, I mean, I really thought that was a possibility. So, yeah.
Amon, did you have any feelings about who you think did well or better than one another?
I mean, this obviously there's a little bit of bias here because, I mean, we all know this girl's story and with all the shit that she pulled before the season. But I just felt like Cherry Pie did not deliver the way that I would have expected her to. So I was sort of like surprised that she wasn't. I would have, if I were RuPaul, I would have been like, oh, let me make this girl lip sync one more time just to prove, because this is the final five and you're not delivering. I think that Gigi Good, I think that she just has a magnetic thing going for her when she's on stage. It does not come across whenever she is in the workroom. It does not come across in mini challenges, except I guess to them in this past one. But whenever she gets on stage and she lip syncs, she just goes somewhere else. And maybe it has something to do with the fact that some of those lyrics were written by her, so she was able to like have more of a personality behind it. But I really think that she was a strong one here. And the same thing for Jackie, the same thing for Jada as well. I just really, what I admired the most about this challenge was not only that the girls were just giving it to us, but I think that they really, like, the producers really took a chance with some of like the editing and the cinematography of it all. Like, I mean, that little mirror shot when they're all standing together in the mirror and like how they're some people are dancing like in the back of the stage and then come forward and then it blends into the next person, but the other person's still on stage just in the back. Like, I feel like they really heightened the production value of this number in general, which really just made, you just made me see everybody through like a rose colored lens. So
yeah,
it was a very, very strong performance by almost all of them.
You know, Amon, I agree with your take. You know, I think that we are getting caught up in the entire catfishing allegations to say to ourselves, well, Cherry Pie must be good, but we know we're not supposed to like her because of this. I'm going to be honest with you. I didn't respond well to Cherry Pie throughout this episode, and I haven't responded well to Cherry Pie for the last couple of episodes. Even just trying to judge it, okay, like, I don't really know her from production. I don't know her confessionals. I don't know her personality. So I'm just going to judge the lurks on stage and the performance, and let's see how that goes. And I haven't been impressed. And I was looking for a way to sum it up. And honestly, I found something that someone else wrote, and her name is Lily Vasquez. And I don't know, have your at Lily, so I apologize, but I want to give you credit. And she wrote this about Cherry Pie. She said, in reference to the way things are overall, I really hope Jackie Cox takes Cherry Pie's place. Even if you take the catfishing scandal out of the equation, Cherry Pie was pretty much a one-note pony. Same makeup, character, and period styling for most of the season, with only minor deviations here and there. She also comes across as very stale and matronly, in my opinion. By the way, I totally agree with, again, you know, I have problems with queens who are like 25 and make themselves look goddamn 50 years old. How many times have I talked about somebody like Fifi O'Hara, who is in her 20s at the time and makes herself look like a goddamn 50-year-old Miami housewife? How does that happen? Anyway, she goes on. She was very polished, talking about Cherry Pie, and obviously a seasoned performer. But there was little spark and excitement emanating from her. Even her comedy was very predictable and self-indulgent. That's fine for a local drag queen with a standing club residency, but that doesn't cut it for global drag superstar. Jackie Cox, on the other hand, took Cherry Pie's same playbook and injected heart, freshness, and quirk, and made us love her. And like, I'm trying to not fall into the trap of, okay, well, I, like, these people didn't know what Cherry Pie was doing at the time, and so they judged it based on, you know, just seeing her on the stage, which, of course, you know, all things being equal, you should do. But like, even just looking at it as just that, it's very shallow, it's very surface level with Cherry Pie. I cannot find any heart or anything that RuPaul's Drag Race normally looks for. Maybe we never got it because of everything that happened, but I just can't see it. And so I don't respond well to her. Anybody else feel that way?
Oh, yeah, I absolutely agree with you. I think it's been, this episode was almost the first time where I felt sort of free of the scandal. And yeah. I felt a little bit more like I could judge her for what was going on.
And she was fifth out of five.
Oh, I hated her rappers. Yes.
And then
now hearing you read that, I'm like, oh my gosh, yeah, her political statement was the same thing. Like her, you know, her rappers in the very first episode was the same thing. This whole concept of like pie force feeding mm-hmm. America. Oh, really? Oh, okay. Like we got it. Also, find a garment that fits you in your hips. Sorry, that's just like I've been.
Not that I think about it. Her mug rarely changes. She rarely goes outside the same. Eyebrows or eyelashes or the same face or the same contouring. It's always the same thing.
Ironically,
like when she does the old lady drag. Sorry, I'm on.
I was going to say the strongest challenge I think that she was the best in was the one where she basically had to make another cherry pie with the makeover. So yeah, I just feel like it's just not, it could be, obviously some of it has to do with the editing because they purposefully edited right. all the good.
I'm trying, yeah. I'm like, what? Like, I wish but I could have seen it the way it was and judged it because I really do feel like she's 5 out of 5.
Even through this though, because there really wasn't anywhere to hide in this challenge. Because I don't give a damn if I don't get any confessionals from you. I can still judge you if you're not giving me confessionals and I can still see the performance.
I want that on a t-shirt, Amon. I can still judge you.
So, yeah, I just feel like I'm not really sure. Maybe I guess, you know, it comes down to the report cards again and how she's been consistently high and she's won, what, 1 or 2? Like, so, you know, she has that going for her. But yeah,
they were way early.
They were super early. Yeah.
Yeah. They came for the widow and like, you know, oh, you know, you won early. Like, what the fuck was Cherry Pie? When did she win last? I'm like, Liana, you had the wiki open. When was her last win? Was it like episode 4?
Episode 5. She won episode 3 and episode 5.
Wow. And she wasn't even in episode 1, right? Okay.
She was not in episode 1.
Okay. That's so, correct. Yeah. So her fourth episode. Okay. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I just feel like no love lost. You know what I mean? Like, love lost from the get go, but like, I was expecting, kind of what you said already, Brent. Like, I was expecting when we got to this end of the season, I was expecting to be like, oh, wow, like, she really screwed everything up for her. Like, she had such a great performance for during the season, and now it's all going to be wasted because she decided to be this horrible person. But no, I don't even feel that way. I'm like, you were okay. Bye. Like,
we're okay. Yeah, exactly.
Well, yeah, well, that and then all her characters are still old ladies who apparently have, like, seizures. So okay, like that's not funny. But yeah, I so my probably if I had to pick my bottom two would be Cherry Pie and Crystal, and I would have loved for Cherry Pie to have gone home here. Like, oh, that's what I wanted in my dream world. Of course, that didn't happen.
Yeah, I think
amazing.
I mean, like the runway makes it so hard because I think that Jada just smashed the runway. So I'm like, I wanted to put Jada in the bottom two because I didn't love her verse and I thought she was a little low energy in it, but like her runway was so amazing.
I'm glad you brought that because I forgot to talk about Jada. Like, I think what really effed it up was the fact that she's not a tenor and all the other.
Yeah, they had it in the wrong key, Amon, right?
It was the right key. She just sang an octave lower than everybody else because she's not a tenor and she has a lower singing voice and she's not a singer to begin with.
Yeah,
but it really brought energy down because even if you're like hitting every move, it like doesn't match because your vocal isn't as bright as everyone else's.
Dark. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I felt like my ears had to almost readjust to then listen to her because once I was doing the rewatch, I was like, oh, I actually really like her verse because I was able to process it a little bit better. But definitely within the background of the whole thing, it felt a little out of place.
Yeah, I didn't understand why Rue and again, I love Jada. So that's why you know, like, I'm like, oh, I just mm-hmm. don't remember that. But like, honestly, like Rue and company were like gagging over Jada. And I'm like, OK, I'm not gagging over Jada. Like, I love Jada and she's amazing. But like her verse did not have the same energy as Gigi or the other queens, not even Crystal. Like, it just didn't. Now, again, she came out and smashed the runway and absolutely won it hands down. So then how do you judge that? I mean, that's, again, up to Rue. So whatever. Mm-hmm. But, like, I probably would have had Jada and Cherry Pie in the bottom two.
Yeah, I feel like if this challenge had happened like way earlier in the season, we would definitely have gotten an edit of the vocal director asking Jada to sing up here, and she's like, I can't do that. And we would have had the whole thing where she's like feeling insecure about it because she can't sing like the rest of the girls can. And but they completely just cut all of that out, because I guarantee you that vocal director was like, can you try up here, please? And they just didn't show us that. So
yeah, they didn't show us that. Yeah.
Yeah, I could see that.
Now let's take a break to hear a word from our sponsors. And we are back.
All right. Well, is there any other thing that you guys want to say about the performance? Otherwise, we can talk about the runway and the final judging.
We can talk about that. Sorry, go ahead. Yeah.
Come on.
I think that's it for me.
Okay. Well, the runway is the Eleganza Extravaganza, aka Best Drag Looks. Crystal is the first queen that we see come out in her blue genie look, Brent. What did you think about Crystal's look this week?
Look, I hated it. I'm sorry. I did. This is terrible. This is really bad. I love her. She's amazing. I've grown to fall in love with her just like everyone else has, but I'm trying to call it. And I think Carson basically said the same thing, which is that I love you for being you and you're amazing. But goddamn, this is ugly as shit. This is just terrible. But like, is it so ugly that it's amazing? I mean, this, like, it looked like it was so heavy and so, I was going to say cheap, but maybe cheap isn't the right word. Like, but it did look kind of cheap. It looked like crushed velvet, like you buy at the fabric store. Like,
I think it was Bob the drag queen on the pit stop who was like, at first I didn't like it, and then I hated it. I'm happy to hear your feelings, because I think I also had a similar response. It was like, I think I want to like this, but I just can't. Aman.
Yeah, I tried because as soon as I saw her come around the corner, I was like, this is not going to go over with Brent, who already has a problem with a lot of what Crystal does. And I really tried to be like, okay, well, I need to be the one that goes to bat for her. But honey, she swung out here. This is just not, it's ugly. It's just
extravaganza, eleganza. Are you kidding me? Like,
yeah. And at the end of the day, like, I know that there are many types of drag. I know that not everybody is is not their shtick. I get that. And that's clearly not Crystal's shtick. I don't need you to, you know, be ultra feminine. That's just not your thing. But you don't look like a drag queen to me at all in this thing. You look like
a clown. You look like a clown.
You look like a genie clown. And that's
She's in
it.
Pants too. Like, oh, it bugs me.
And it's rouged up and asymmetrical type look, but it's just sometimes lopsided is just lopsided, and that's it.
Yeah,
you know,
it looks like it doesn't fit. I
hate the hips and it was so strong. Much.
Yes,
I hate the legs, the hips. Boots. I hate. Oh my god, I hate it. Come on, yeah, the boots.
And just I don't know. I just I think the best thing that she had going for her in this outfit was her face, but her face usually looks like that anyway. So it's just like, I really just wanted something better. Like, maybe if she had turned it into a dress, maybe I would have liked it better. No, Crystal, no.
I'm holding my hand up and I'm covering the pant part, and it's okay. So like I'm okay from the top up. I think it's really just the shape of the legs that just for some reason bothers me. But you know, good for Crystal for being Crystal. This is just personally my personal preference of drag is not my favorite.
It's a Smurf circus. That's what it is. It's just horrible.
Smurfus. Okay. Well, Gigi is the next queen to walk the runway, which has this very Katy Perry vibe from last Friday night. Aman, what did you think about this?
I hated this look. I think she looks so ugly, and I loved it because she's always given us this, you know, really well put together. And this is still very well put together, but it doesn't look like something that she would normally do. I mean, just the addition of the chin strap and the headband and the neck brace and all of that, it really just it made me see her in a different light. And I was like, okay, now, okay, I want to root for this because it's not as pretty as you usually go. Like, I really don't like this look. And I like the fact that I don't like this look because now I'm like, okay, I see you now. I see, I'm seeing the layers to Gigi Good now. So
that's yeah, awesome. It's definitely very campy, Brent.
Yeah, I didn't love it. I really didn't. This is another one I didn't really respond well to. Like, it's so you're supposed to bring out, like, in my opinion, your best drag. It's extravaganza eleganza. Okay. Like, this is supposed to be it. So it's not supposed to be camp. It's just supposed to be amazing. And so I was a little butthurt that she did
That's a good point. Like, that's a good point. We should take points off for it not being, because we've seen other things from her that would definitely fit better in this category. But I don't know, I guess I was just so used to her being that way anyway.
Well, she hasn't been that way for a while, so I wanted that one time. I wanted that, like, at the finale, give me the best Gigi Good I can ever get. I want it. And then I didn't get it. I got this sort of campy, like, and it was great, but, and I know what she was going for, but I didn't want that. I wanted something else. So again, personal preference on my part. Like, I wanted her to just come out and give me, like, fashion queen, amazing. Like, just give me something Violet Chachki gag worthy. I want to see it because I know she can do it and just, like, go out there and slam it. And she didn't do it in my eyes.
I kind of feel like I'm more in that camp too. I think it was an expectations thing because and also because I know what she's capable of or what her mom is capable of designing, yes. You know, and I'm so happy that Gigi feels comfortable tapping into camp and doing something like this, but it's not what I personally wanted for that final look. So I think I can appreciate this look for what it is. I certainly love it much more than Crystal's, but it just didn't hit the spot. Like, it wasn't that meal that I wanted. Like, I'll eat it and it's fine, yeah. But it wasn't that satisfying meal that I really wanted. So then let's see who is next. So we get Jackie Cox out on the runway. Brent, what did you think about this look from Jackie?
Boy, I really responded well to this one. This really gave me all of the eye-popping orgasms I was looking for when I'm trying to consume RuPaul's Drag Race. The colors, the color of the hair, the scheme overall of the silhouette, the way that the garment moved, the way that it fit. The one thing that I will say that I didn't love is I didn't love the way Jackie presented it. I would have liked her to have a little bit more pizzazz, a little bit more like, fuck you, I'm amazing. And I didn't think she had that. I still felt like she was walking out there as, I know I'm probably going to be lip syncing tonight. Like, do you know what I mean? Or does anybody else feel that?
Mm-hmm. I didn't catch on to that until you said it. But watching it back, yeah, there's definitely a certain there's a stage presence that she's lacking.
Yeah, you really stage have to presence. Deliver yeah, it. Give me more, bitch. Like, come out there like Jada. Come on. Like, yeah. Give it to us. You own the stage. Piss all over it. That's what I wanted from her because she had the look to do it. And then she didn't.
It is absolutely demure when she presents it. And I think that that hurts her. However, like this is what I wanted out of the look. And I think I was so happy after, especially Crystal and Gigi. And I was like, am I going to any of these looks? And so this silhouette on Jackie is just absolutely gorgeous. It's so flattering. Mm-hmm. I love the color combinations. I didn't have the same issue with the length of the gown because that's sort of the style of what this is supposed to be. Also,
that's the style exactly. Yeah, because I have the same problem too. Like, I want the gown to hit the floor, but I know that's not the style. Yeah,
right. What's it made out of? Is it
that's what I was trying to figure out.
Come on,
that's what I was trying to figure out. Was it like wrapping paper or was it like it looked like that cheap ass tablecloth paper that you have too? But like it was awesome, but it didn't look cheap. But it just looked. No, I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know what the hell was. I thought maybe it was just wrapping paper, like shiny, glossy wrapping paper.
That's what I thought too. It was like, a cool material that it was made out of. But I don't know. Amon, did you have any
the blue
other
hair
thoughts
and the
about
heels
Jackie's
and
look?
And the gloves?
Oh, I loved it. Yeah,
hot.
Yeah,
my favorite of the night. Dress with the yellow interspersed all through there.
Yeah,
too.
The yellow really helps because it's just a little. It's just a little scooch of yellow, you know. But like the hot pink overall really just like it grabs your attention. Oh, I loved it.
Well, talking about grabbing one's attention, Brent, I know this look from Jada really grabbed you.
I mean, this is just literally coming out onto the stage and pissing all over it. She was just, oh my God, amazing. This is everything I want. And I love that the judges said that this is, if there's one contestant on this season that is a drag queen, it is Jada Essence Hall, bitch. She comes out and gives it to you. There's one contestant that heard extravaganza, eleganza, and said, okay, I know what I'm doing. What are y'all doing? She said, I have this dress. I know I got this hair. I got the beat for it. And I know I'm going to come out there with my cape and work the runway. And oh my God, it fit like a glove. And she was, and she knew it fit like a glove. So she was like, I know my dress fits right. And she came out there and she just gave it to us. It just was like, I wanted this. I needed this from her. And she gave it to me. And I was so happy.
Mm-hmm. Aman, did you feel as strongly about this look?
No. I think it's beautiful. I do. But I don't know what's not. It's great. It's beautiful. I mean, Jada always looks beautiful. I guess maybe it's the color for me. Maybe it wasn't bright enough for me. I didn't really care for the black cape. I feel like if she was going to do a cape, it should not have been black. I feel like it's sort of like bogged it down.
But it was so translucent, though. It wasn't really black. It was black, but when it's on the stage, you could definitely see color coming through.
But it was still black. It was like black netting. It was like a I just feel like the gold was very non-shiny gold, and I wanted more pop.
Okay,
and I
just feel fair. Like
it wasn't poppy enough. But I mean, she always looks good. And I love the fact that she imitated RuPaul with his classic raising of the
arm. The way she works the runway is just everything. Like, she has so much fun. Like, everything that Jackie Cox was not giving me, Jada did give me. Like, she knows how to work the crowd and have fun and like own her shit.
She definitely, she is definitely a lot more on the extravaganza side than some of the other queens,
than any of the other queens. Yeah,
but I just feel like, I don't know, I just wanted a little bit more.
Well, I can see Aman's perspective about the gown. I think the reason why I responded really well to this is because this is what I wanted with the eleganza, extravaganza, and the fact that she is just beat for the gods and her contoured all the way up into the hairline. Like, it's just, I mean, I think she looks fantastic.
Yeah, the hair looks really good.
Really good, Aman. Really good.
I mean, this is pageant girl realness to the T. And, you know, there were some details about the dress I think maybe didn't necessarily pop as well on camera as maybe she wanted, but I think all in all, this to me is when I picture that finale look, or I guess the best drag look.
Yeah, like, the best drag look. Yeah,
this is kind of what I picture, something like this. And maybe that's my antiquated drag ways, but I still think that she looked absolutely gorgeous and as stunning, darling. Well, our last queen, I guess we can talk, if anybody has, briefly about Sherry Pie.
I mean, like, it goes into what I was just saying before about Sherry Pie, which is that she's always coming out in the same sort of period. She talks about in the confessional, which they gave her on the runway, about the fact that, well, I know that drag is moving into the new centuries and the new modern era of drag, but we really shouldn't. I don't want us to forget, you know, what made drag amazing, and these amazing characters we can pull from. I'm like, bitch, that's all you do. That's all you remember. Okay. Like, come up and see me sometime. Like, if you had told me that Mae West was what Sherry Pie was going to do, like, I would have been like, okay, yeah, like totally expected. Like, and like, she acted like she was like reinventing the wheel when she came out in this. And it was totally expected. Like, I was not moved by this at all, even though I know I'm supposed to hate her because, which I do, I don't care for Sherry Pie, but I know the show is wanting me to not like her, but I just didn't like this. This was really boring. Like, can she do anything other than this?
I just have a lot of like, why do her hip pads fit weird? I hate her hip. Like, there's something about her hips that, like, those, because it's the same silhouette and it doesn't fit every single time. So, anyway, whatever. She's gone now. So now
she's
we don't.
Gone. Yeah.
We don't have to deal with this. Well, we get the final judging, and we know that this is, of course, based on the performances tonight, as well as throughout the season. Effectively, this comes down to the quote-unquote report card. Now, Gigi is declared our winner, which gives her, I think, 4 wins for the season, which is the most out of any queen. Jada has 3, and now Gigi has 4, Amon.
Yeah, I mean, I think it was pretty well-deserved. I don't think any of the other... I think Jada could have possibly been in the running for this, but because of the fact that we talked about before, and like, I just feel like she just wasn't able to deliver the same kind of performance with those vocals. And like I said, she comes alive on that stage when she's performing. And so, yeah, I mean, I'm kind of upset because then it just sort of like raises, you know, her bid for the crown. It's like, oh, how can you not, like, especially if you're going to come off this penultimate episode talking about report card and you want us to believe that report card has nothing to do with the winner now, come on. But I at the same time, I can't be mad that she won because she really did win. So
And then our bottom two are Crystal and Jackie, who are going to perform to On the Floor with, which is J-Lo featuring Pitbull, which I think I saw somewhere that Pitbull is the only straight male artist to ever be featured in a song. But don't quote me on that. I make up stuff all the time.
By the way, before you go on, I do want to say I really appreciated it that Jada was called safe before Sherry Pie. Like, yes. I love that. Yeah.
No, I definitely was like noted that. I was like, OK, so this is like our top two. Got
yeah,
it.
Yeah.
Well, I thought this lip sync, you can kind of see the writing on the wall, or at least that's how I felt, Brent, that I feel like Jackie was going to be sent home. Yeah. What did you think about this lip sync?
I thought that it was actually a really great lip sync with both of them. But I also, I mean, I'm sorry. Like, I know that there's some people that love Crystal Method out there, and I love Crystal Method, but she was just doing the same shit that she did like 2 episodes ago. And she was like, I feel like, here's the thing. I feel like Crystal is a little bit of a dog. And by that, I mean this, whereas a dog does something and you're like, oh, good doggy. And then the dog realizes that you respond well to it. And then the dog does it again. And then you're like, oh, good doggy. Like Crystal knows that Rue loves this dumb, stupid shit that she does. So then she just does it again. And like, I saw nothing new in the actual performance. I thought that Jackie was actually amazing, and they didn't show Crystal at all during the part where it was like the rap part, which came out really fast and really wordy. They showed fucking Jackie Cox, but they didn't show Crystal. And I'm thinking that was because Crystal didn't know her words as well. And so I was a little annoyed, if I'm being honest, that Jackie didn't win. But yeah, I could see the writing on the wall.
Amon, what do you think about the lip sync?
Yeah, I really thought that there might have been a moment where we did catch Crystal not being perfectly in sync with the
edited that way
with the words. So I did think, oh, wow, maybe she might lose this one. But I take your point, too, about, you know, Crystal delivering those antics on stage. But I guess, you know, you're sort of able to get away with it because this is your first lip sync. So it's sort of like this is a new arena in which you're doing it, as opposed to Jackie, who has already been in the bottom two
twice before.
So, but I also kind of have a small bone to pick with Jackie, because she's like, I'm sure all of you guys are so surprised that I know the words to this rap song. And I'm like, first of all, this is not a rap song. This is a pop song with a rap verse in it. Second of all, this song came out when you were like freaking 25. You should know the words to this song. So I was just like, don't try and be like, oh, I'm such an old coot. No, you're not. You act like you're like in the grave already. You're come on. So I think they both did pretty admirably. I really didn't see anything that new with Jackie, to be honest. If they were going to get into Crystal, I don't really see that much new with Jackie either. So I thought at the end of the day, somebody was here twice. The other person was here for the first time. And that's all she wrote, honey.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So this is where we finally say goodbye to Jackie, which, Amon, you talked about this at the beginning of the show that, oh, there was going to be some sort of gag, like, thanks, Jake Yonce. There was no gag, at least not in this episode. So Crystal was safe and Jackie was eliminated. And that's all she wrote. Now, we got the Team Crystal, Team Jada, Team Gigi, I don't even know what you want to call it, pop-ups for the audience to influence who they want to win RuPaul's Drag Race, which I think is kind of interesting because we've been speculating a little bit about if somebody is going to be brought back. But the fact that they brought up these three makes me feel like this is our final three. I don't know how the virtual lip sync is going to work, which we can talk about in a bit. But Brent, I really think that no one is going to be brought back.
I unfortunately feel that way as well. That's what's in my gut. So they could surprise me, but I do not think that Jackie Cox is going to be brought back. I know there's a lot of fans on Twitter that really want her to be brought back, but I think that, a virtual finale is going to be so hard to pull off, and I don't know how they're going to do it. And I think having four queens instead of three queens is an even more monumental task that there's no way they're going to invite her back. I would be stunned, but I would be happy if they did.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we do know that next week we're going to get the reunion, which is themed as a virtual slumber party hosted by RuPaul. So that will be on our TV screens next week, which is, I believe, the 22nd of May. And then the finale, VH1 is going to broadcast a virtual lip sync. And from the article that I was reading from EW, it says, a virtual video using boundary pushing technologies to highlight the creativity of each queen. I have absolutely no idea what that means, but I think to Brent's point, we really are probably just going to stick with these three queens being our top three. And I don't think there's going to be any sort of twist that happens where anyone gets brought back. So
I agree.
All right. Mm-hmm. Do either of you have any thoughts about Untucked? Honestly, Untucked was just a snooze fest. I mean, it was nice to see them like loving each other, but
yeah, it was a snooze fest. That. Group hug, everybody. Group hug.
Yeah, all this right. was not the season for Untucked at all.
No.
So, but I was going to say, as far as the boundary pushing technology is concerned, I don't know if either of you have seen Katy Perry's performance on the American Idol premiere this past week. I don't even know if it was the premiere, but Katy Perry, she released a new single recently and she had her first live performance on television. And it's a lot of like CGI built in virtual reality stuff that goes on around her as she sings. So I'm wondering, I don't know if they have the budget for something like that for three drag queens that are interspersed around the country, but I'm wondering if it's something of that nature where, you know, you have a team that gets assigned to each queen and they are just going to zhuzh up their lip syncs to make it, you know, pop on the screen. But then that kind of brings in the question. It's like, okay, well then who controls who has the best people on their team, or is it going to be the same people that do it? Because I don't know. It's going to be so weird because if it's going to come down to the lip sync and they're all going to want that gag worthy moment, how are all of them going to be able to capture that without having a specific team? And what happens if somebody else has a better team than the other person?
Yeah. All of their apartments are going to be filled with butterflies, rose petals. Who knows what's going to happen?
I have no idea what's going to happen. I'm just hoping that Jada wins.
Yes. So thank you, Brent. I wanted to bring this up. So I want us to do the head, heart, gut predictions for the finale. So head is who you think is going to win. Your heart is who you want to win. And your gut is just who do you think in your gut is going to take this? So Brent, where do you fall in these three categories?
My head thinks that Jada Essence Hall is going to win. My heart wants Jada Essence Hall to win. And my gut thinks that Jada Essence Hall will win. I really do, because I think that Rue responds to the people, and I think enough people love Jada just as much as they love Gigi. And I think that Gigi hasn't done herself favors over the past couple of weeks. So it's not as like she's untouchable as she once was. And Jada just like, I think that people relate to her, but it's close. It's very close. And I could be wrong. Sorry. I know that was helpful.
Come on, how about you?
I mean, my head thinks that Gigi Good is going to win only because of the fact that, I mean, she's won four challenges now. She's never been in the bottom two. And she's been almost consistently high. I mean, towards the end of the competition, she has sort of began to decline, but never as far as the bottom two. My gut also believes that Gigi Good is going to win for the same exact reasons. I mean, I would love to see Jada win.
Is that your heart?
So I guess that's my heart. But I mean, honestly, and the more and more that I think about it, like, I'm fine with either of them, to be honest. Like, I feel
like
they
both. I'm fine with either of them too. They're both great representatives for Drag Race, and I really feel like that losing is the new winning. So, like, you can always be brought back on a new season of All Stars and do it all over again and get more fame and more followers and everything. And, you know, I don't know. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I'm cool with whatever happens.
I guess it really all depends on what comes when it comes down to these lip syncs. And if somebody completely knocks their lip sync out of the park, even given the circumstances, then I want that queen to win, because I just feel like this season is just so unprecedented and mired by such bullshit and fuckery, right, that if there is this queen that is able to come out on top at the end of this shitstorm and just deliver us a bomb ass show while we're all stuck at home, then give that queen the damn crown.
Do we think
if
that
we get another Sasha Velour moment, give them the damn crown.
I don't know if they would. Okay, cool.
I don't know what Crystal can do. I mean, we've only seen her lip sync once, so I don't know.
That's amazing. But
if she can do it, then okay, then give the crown to Crystal. Competitions be damned.
Oh, I keep thinking about this boundary pushing technology, and I'm like, what if Crystal comes up with some super cool way, to utilize this? Maybe that's how she takes the crown in the end. I think it's definitely possible. But I think for my head, heart, gut, I'm going to go with my head is Gigi. My heart is Jada, and my gut, it's really torn. I think we're going to see Gigi. No, my gut is telling me Gigi. My head also Gigi, and heart is Jada. So we shall see. I think Crystal, for me personally, is a little bit out of the running just based on what we've seen so far, especially with 3 and 4 wins. But you never know. I mean, she could be the Sasha Velour of the season. And
she would absolutely have to kill it. Yeah, she'd have to absolutely just destroy them on stage. Yeah.
Right. Or at home.
Yeah, exactly. Wherever. Yeah.
Okay, I think that about does it for us today. We have Celebrity Drag Race. I didn't respond super well to this episode, so I don't have a whole lot of thoughts about it. Amon, did you have anything to say about this?
Not really. I was kind of shocked because they were really only up and up. And then I feel like these last three people that they chose, while they're not specifically unknown, I just feel
they're
like,
unknown. I didn't know who any of these three people were. Come on. Like they said in the intro. That we saved the best for last. And I expected, like, ooh, who's it going to be?
Yeah, like, I wouldn't have considered any of them the best for last. I still knew who all of them were, but it was definitely not, honey. Like, it makes me wonder, did somebody cancel? Did they, were these alternates? Like, what's going on here?
That's what it felt like. Honestly, I was happy to see Monique Hart back again. I was gagged to see Alyssa fucking Edwards back, and goddamn, she looks good. And I love the fact that people just love her so much, and they're literally coming into the workroom doing that was so much fun. And then to see Vanessa Vanjie, I don't know how she was as a coach overall. Like, she was better than I thought she would be, but I'm still looking at her going, like, how long have you been doing drag for, 4 years now? I don't know.
It's a very potent mixture of celebrity judges. You mean Vanjie, Monique, and Alyssa? Like, that is, that's a lot of personality right there. So
The celebrities were, which I also didn't know any of them, Phoebe Robinson, Madison Beer, and Haley Kyoto, which I thought that the actual performance, the drag performance at the end was fun. I could have done without the rest of the episode.
Right?
So that was really all I wanted.
Where's Brian Scally to put out a side-by-side of the celebrities with the drag queens in terms of followers? I want to see this, because I have to believe this is even more ridiculous than what we saw before.
Yeah, it's entirely possible. I think I was like, Puya, who are these people? And he was like, I think Madison Beer was on Vine. I was like, what? Like, she was a Vine star or something who then got music? I don't know, Mon, you said that you knew these people.
She was done a couple songs for Disney, and yeah, she's mostly known for her music and did get to her start online. Yeah. Okay, young
Madison
celebrities
Beer
do nowadays.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my gosh, she has 2.7 million followers. Mm-hmm. Like I was like,
we're old, Brent.
Oh my God. Oh my God. Oh my God. Like literally I was like, you know, I'm sure because like there have been times where people have been on the show and I'm like, I have more followers than them. I was like, I bet I have more followers than all three of these bitches.
Eyes.
No, I mean, no, she's been around for a bit.
Okay.
She's always been like one of those people that's like kind of like been bubbling under and she hasn't really had her.
She hasn't really bubbled. She hasn't popped. Okay. All right.
All right. Well, let's get out of here. We, of course, will be back next week. No, we're not going to be back next week. Yes. So what we're going to do is we are going to cover the reunion and the finale together. So we're going to wait to put out the podcast until after the finale airs, where we will cover both everything from the slumber party reunion to the virtual lip sync extravaganza. Brent, how are you? What are you up to? And how can people find you on social media?
They can always find me at One Lucky Gay. That's one spelled out, O-N-E. And you can come yell at me or follow me or do whatever you want. I'm covering a lot of Sequester lately. That's been happening on Fridays and Saturdays, giving us a lot of virtual entertainment when we can't do anything because of the goddamn coronavirus. And Big Brother is still on hold. So it's Drag Race or bust for me right now.
And Aman, how can people find you on social media?
You can find me at Aman Adwin on Twitter and on Instagram. Yeah, I mean, if there are any Glee fans, I still have a podcast with friend of the podcast, Matt Ligori. And yeah, like Brent, I have been enjoying a lot of the Sequester minis. So everybody should definitely check that out. I think I'm actually going to be speaking with, I don't know. Are you guys going to be with Taryn on the Survivor one too?
Yep.
Yep.
It's and then, yeah, we'll,
that would we'll have been really awkward if we weren't.
Oh my God.
Like, oh yeah. My God, Taryn didn't ask me that bitch.
Not invited. Oh my God. Yeah, I think Mike Bloom is also going to be there. I think Puya is going to be there as well.
Yeah, let's just say, like, so for those of you who don't know, and there may be so many people out there. Yeah. The survivors are going to be playing the game of Sequester on this Saturday, May 23rd. It's going to be a really hot time. It's going to be at 8 p.m. Eastern. You can find that by going to sequesteraccess.com and looking up the live feed at 8 p.m. It'll be there. You can also go to a Taryn's Twitch stream and where Liana and Oman and myself and a cast of thousands, basically, will be covering and we'll be commentating on the events during the breaks, and it'll be a really fun time. And I'm really excited how this cast of 20 survivors is going to interact. And I know I've been hearing through the grapevine, through Audrey, that there's been a lot of pre-gaming, which I think can lead to a lot of really bitter feelings after the fact. So I'm really excited to see what happens on Saturday on May 23rd. And I'm sure that I will be there like many of you all. It's probably going to break the internet, actually.
Oh yeah,
I think this will get a lot of eyes. Yeah,
and it's gonna be a hot mess. I can't wait. So yeah. All right, well, you can find me on Twitter at Liana RHAP. The Survivor season is over, but there are two podcasts for you to check out. I did the RHAP B&B with Mike Bloom, and our guest Gabby Pascuzzi was on, which was, yeah, so much fun. We talked about everything from the finale. I'm also, well, already recorded, but it'll be released soon, a podcast with Rob talking about the Ponderosa videos.
I saw that, yeah.
Yeah, so Survivor put out a bunch of Ponderosa coverage, and Rob and I broke it all down. We did, I think Rob described it as the morning update, but for Ponderosa. So we talk about what people are,
by the way,
where people are sleeping and all that stuff. So
since we're on the Drag Race podcast, I feel like I can say this and get away with it, but I'm going to say what I think everybody else is thinking. Can Ethan and Boston Rob just fuck and get it over with?
My God, I literally talked about in the first few minutes of that podcast, I think, the fact that Boston Rob fed Ethan a Kit Kat. I was like, God, getting my best damn life.
Oh, all the homo.
I haven't seen that yet, but yeah. I am definitely going to go check that out now.
That is the best plug for the Ponderosa videos than our entire podcast.
Really, Rob and
I love it. I love it. I love it. And then finally, I'm doing the Masked Singer podcast with Puya Zanvakili. We're almost done with that. Our final episode should hopefully be out this week after the finale. All right. Well, become a patron of Rob Has a Podcast. Check out patreon.com. Rob Has a Podcast to support all of the amazing content that we are able to do and Rob is able to put out. It really helps. And you get extra bonus coverage and all that stuff. So definitely check out patreon.com. Yes. Leave your star ratings and reviews on iTunes. Huge shout out to Scott St. Pierre behind the scenes. And we will talk to y'all in 2 weeks. Bye.